1 Corinthians chapter 3, we continue our study of the book of 1 Corinthians. And of course, the point of the study is the biblical worldview. What had happened at the church at Corinth was the world, or the thinking of the world, had gotten into the church there at Corinth. And so Paul was writing the church to combat that. And so the idea of this entire study is that we think like God thinks and not think like the world thinks. We're going to begin in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there is envy and strife and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, 'I'm of Paul,' and another says, 'I'm of Apollos,' are you not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we bow to you today asking that your Holy Spirit guide us to all truth, that you will convict us, Lord, of sin, that you will draw us to you and help us to have a heart to respond to you. Lord, we pray your will be done in this service. Change us, Lord. Make us more usable in your service. Create in us, Lord, the right heart and the right spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I want you to understand this. You know, this is one of those messages that is preached, and I'm not preaching it because somebody's acting bad. I'm preaching it because this is next in the series. But I can tell you this. I'm not battling anything at the moment, but sooner or later, this stuff comes up in a church. And so it's always good to address it before it comes up instead of addressing it during the event itself. So I want you to also understand, I want you to take this message personal. I ask you to take this message personally. In that, don't look around and say, "Boy, I hope he's listening or she's listening or they're listening. Boy, they needed that." I'm asking you today for this message to work the work that it needs to work in our hearts. We've got to take it personally. Not for others, but for us as an individual. I promise you that's the way I've approached it this week. So, first thing we want to establish is this. Paul is writing to saved people. These are saved people. He's not writing to the world. He's not writing to lost people. He's writing to saved people who have a little bitty problem. Okay? And that little bitty problem is, of course, spiritual immaturity. And he breaks down in the beginning of the text in the saved or believers into two categories. There are the spiritual and there are the carnal. And then under the carnal, he has a subcategory, and those people are babes. Right? So let's start with the spiritual. He said, "I wanted to write with you as spiritual, but I couldn't." And so understand what that word spiritual means. It means very simply one who is controlled by the Holy Spirit. One who speaks as of the oracles of God. That kind of person that when you're around them, you're glad to be around them. You feel blessed. You're encouraged. You're lifted up. That kind of person that you don't have to worry about they're going to spew bitterness, hatred, but they're going to actually let the love of God flow through them onto you. Those are the kind of people you want to be around. Amen? Oh, come on. Those are the kind of people we enjoy. That after they leave, we think, boy, I'm glad I saw them today. So they're the spiritual people, the ones controlled entirely by the Holy Spirit. And then the other group was the carnal people. Now, carnal person is one of those religious words that we think of as being they're terribly immoral. No. That word carnal, it means fleshly, and the idea there is that they think and even sometimes act like the world. They're pursuing worldly things. People who are carnal actually have very little time for spiritual things, because it's all about what they see, what they want, and what they can gain. And then under that category of being a carnal Christian, we come to, well, we're going to spend a lot of time today, babes. Paul said, I couldn't write to you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as babes in Christ. Of course, a baby is someone who has the characteristics of a child, an infant. Aren't children wonderful? Oh, come on. They are wonderful. Sometimes it's easy to forget because they can be very selfish. They can be all about me-centered, but that's part of being a child. Sometimes they say things that they should not say. If your child is in a Sunday school class, I promise you, that child's Sunday school teacher knows way too much about your family, because kids talk. They want their way. It's all about my way. And if I don't get my way, I'm going to, throw a fit. Don't you love being in Walmart and seeing a child lay down in the aisle and kick and scream, I want. And mom say, oh, shh, I'm old school. That leather would have come out. Here we go. We'll just leave it there, okay? They argue. You tell them, don't do that. But I want to do that. It don't matter, don't do that. But they're doing it. Everybody in my class is doing it. It doesn't matter. You're mine. You can't do that. Well, that's not fair. It's what kids do. You know, stuff like that. And we could go down the list forever. But what I want to point out to you is they're kids. That's what kids do. And as parents, it's your responsibility to train them and teach them along the way so they'll grow up and be adult adults. Because there's nothing more ugly than an adult who acts like a child. If you don't think that ever happens, go to a ball game. And watch as parents in the stands, they say and get angry and they wonder, why is my kid acting so ugly? You're displaying it for your child, you know, from the stands. When it's really bad, it's when it gets in church. And it does get into churches. Church members can act like babies. They can lose their temper when they don't get their way. Let me rephrase that. We can lose our temper when we don't get our way. We can throw a fit when we're angry. We can argue with the best of them. And you know what? That's not okay. That does not belong in the church. Does not belong among God's people. You see, after you've been saved for a little while, you're supposed to grow. And you grow up. You grow out of those ways. And you become that spiritually mature believer. How do you do that, Brother Doug? Well, I'm glad you asked. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. There's only one way I know to grow. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 says, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word that you may, what? What's that word? Grow thereby. Beloved, you've got to get into the Word. You've got, and I cannot express that enough, you will not grow spiritually if you do not eat. You will not grow spiritually if all you eat is junk food. You know that, let's pat everybody on the back and let's make everybody feel good all the time kind of mentality. No. You've got to break open the book and get into the Scripture and ask, what does this mean and how does it apply to me and how do I need to change so I can conform to the will of God? That's the only way you can grow. You get into the book. Excuse me. I guess it's allergy season. But I want to call your attention to that word, desire. See, that's what's lacking in the lives of most believers today, is desire. That word desire means to long for. It means to have a longing, a passionate longing for something. I can relate it to myself when it's around lunchtime or dinner time. I don't have a food problem. I have a food love. I like to eat. I'm pretty passionate about it, to be honest with you. When it comes time to eat, I'm ready to eat. Because I like to eat, you know. But shouldn't we have that kind of passion for the Word of God? If you had a passion for the Word of God, you know what? You'd be in a Bible study class. I love you, but you would. I want to tell you, we got some fine classes. And we have some people who will get into the Word and discuss the Word and break the Word down so that it can be understood. And man, I appreciate our teachers so much. But if you don't get in there, you won't grow. I've heard people say, well, Brother Doug, I try to understand the Bible and I just can't understand it. Get in the class. Every Sunday morning, 9:30, we have classes. And whatever your age, there's a class that's right for you. That's where you grow. But you don't just get it on Sundays. You get it at home. Okay? At home, spend time in the Word. And bring your questions to your teachers on Sunday. Bring them to me on Sunday. Email them to me. I'll do the best to answer them I can. But if you're going to grow, you've got to get into the Word. Number two. We started with, are you spiritual or are you carnal? Now, you got to answer that question today. Right? Symptoms of spiritual immaturity or carnality. How can you know? How can you know if you're carnal or not? Or if you're immature spiritually? Well, first thing you got to do is you got to check the heart. I'm going to say that again. We're not applying to anybody else. I can't check your heart. You cannot check my heart. But you can check your own heart. That's what I want to challenge you with today. Look and see what's really inside there. Because honesty's a must at this point. It's required. Being honest with ourselves about the things that are in there that should not be. Things like, for example, Paul listed envy. You know what envy is? It's jealousy. It's that jealousy. Someone has something that I do not have. Have you ever heard somebody say, well, they always minister to the kids. They never minister to the older. Or they always minister to the older. They never minister to the younger. You know what that is? That's jealousy. That's saying, what about me? Let me just lay that to rest. It's not about you. It's about Jesus Christ. And it's about making disciples. It's about teaching people. Getting them saved. Teaching them so they can grow. If there's one thing that would benefit all churches today, it would be if people would be honest and say, you know, I've got a jealous bone in my body. I'll look at them and I say, why them? Why not me? No, get rid of it. Address it. This is where you go to the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me. Remove it. This does not belong in the life of a believer. It's no good. And that's what Paul's saying. He's saying, if there's envy, are you not worldly? Absolutely. Have you ever seen how a child responds when they don't get something that somebody else got? There are church members who do the same thing. That's not who we are. If that's there, you have an envy problem, which is a maturity problem. He goes on and he addresses strife. You know what strife is, right? It's fighting. And you notice kids can fight. You know who has the best fights? Kids in the same family. Brother against brother and sister against sister. Man, they can go at it. They can roll in the floor. Mom and Dad, I used to, you know, I've known, well, Beth has used this. Make her kids sit somewhere and hug one another for a while. I don't know if that was Beth or me, but I remember us doing that. You know, God's people need to learn how to disagree. We do. We need to learn how to disagree and still love. You know, I can disagree with you and that's fine. I'm going to love you anyway. I mean, every once in a while I disagree with Beth. But I still love her. Usually when I do, I'm wrong, but that's beside the point. You see, we've got to have that same mentality among God's people. I love you. I disagree with you, but I love you. I remember driving again with our kids. One of our great phrases is, don't make me stop this car. You know, I wonder how often God's in heaven saying, don't make me stop this car. Y'all got to learn how to get along, to love, to control that temper. That's maturity, right? Now, like I say, I don't know of any fights going on, and that's not the point. But sooner or later, if you're in church, you're going to encounter an opportunity to fight, to lash out at somebody, and you got to know where it comes from. It comes from immaturity, right? Envy, strife, the other thing Paul said is division. So if these things present in you, are you not worldly? Carnal? That word division, it means, of course, to stand apart. And at Corinth, what was going on at Corinth is they were looking for something to divide up about. Some of them were saying, I'm of Paul. While others were saying, well, I'm of Apollos. Really? Paul's like, really? That's like some of you today saying, well, you know, I like Brother Doug's preaching. And others saying, well, I like it when Brother Michael preaches. And then we get Brother Doug's group and Brother Michael's group, and we don't like one another because we don't like the same thing. I got news for you. Brother Michael and I are on the same team. And that's what Paul tells them. Now, I hadn't heard such thing. I was just using it for example, right? But how we'll just hunt something to divide up about. Things that really do not matter. You know what we should be doing instead of hunting those things that divide us? My friends, we should be looking to build bridges. We'll say that again. We should be looking to build bridges. For example, teenagers and senior adults. There's a big difference between an 80-year-old and a 13-year-old. And if you're not careful, we'll look at the 13-year-old and just say, they don't know any better, you know. But you know what? If they're 13 and they're a believer in Jesus Christ, they're part of the family of God. And as senior adults, we should be building bridges over to those 13-year-olds so we can have a relationship with them. The middle age should be building bridges over to the seniors and to the young adults and the college students. Let me ask you, here's the danger in most churches. When we go to church, we have the group that we see every Sunday and the group that we spend time with every Sunday, and that's the group that we're comfortable with and we love them, and if we're not real careful, that's the only group we'll ever interact with. And what happens is when visitors come, nobody speaks to them. Nobody interacts with them. Nobody asks who they are, where they're from, what, you know, and find out about them. Listen, you're supposed to be building bridges, not being comfortable. And not just visitors, but let me ask you, when's the last time you talked to somebody that's not in your immediate relationship group in this church? Seniors, when's the last time you talked to a 15-year-old? 15-year-old, when's the last time you talked to an 80-year-old? You know, Paul's point here was, and he's going to say this a little bit later on. He said, don't y'all understand we're all one? We're all one. We're all one. We're striving and ministering for the same purpose. So here's my challenge at this point. And we can all improve here. You know, maybe you're not fussing. Maybe you're not jealous. Maybe you need to build a bridge over to a different group that's out of your immediate group every Sunday that you fellowship with. Do it. Do it. Get out of your comfort zone. Build those bridges. Don't let there to be a dividing line between any age or anything in this church. Then we come to the mindset of maturity. Everything we've talked about so far has been immaturity. Paul, he begins to explain there in verse 5. He says, who is Paul? Who is Paul? You know, some of you are saying, I'm a Paul. You can't be a Paul. I didn't die for you. He said, who's Apollos? Apollos didn't die for anybody either. Paul said, all we are is we're God's fellow workers. God's ministers. Now, fellow worker, it basically means working together in the same activity. That's the one thing I love about a church staff that I know of. There's no jealousy, there's no envy, there's no conflict within our church staff. Because we know we're one church, and when one part of the church does well, the whole church does well. Paul called himself the fellow worker. We're fellow workers with God. That means we're working together in God's ministry. We're ministers, he said. We're ministers of God. You know what that word minister means? It's the Greek word dikanos, which means to wait tables. Paul said, man, we're just a waiter. We're just a waiter. Nobody ever says my hero is the waiter. When you go to the restaurant, and listen, if you're a waiter today, I'm not belittling. Please understand. I think it is a very noble profession. But the waiter just brings the food. And when you start to eat that food, it's delicious and you're excited, and what do? Sometimes you even send back to the kitchen, tell the chef, man, this is wonderful. Be like Beth and I when we go somewhere and people ask, where did y'all go? We tell them where we ate. You know? Paul said, man, I'm just the waiter. I just brought the food. Apollo's just the waiter. He just brought the food. Paul said, I'm a planter. I planted. Paul said, All I did was planted the seed. See, church, Paul was a church starter. That's why we have all the books, or most of the books of the New Testament, where he went to start churches. He wrote back to those churches. Paul said, all I did was planted. He said, all Apollos did was water. Paul was a great missionary. Apollos was a great waterer. He was a good teacher. And so he'd come in and he would teach behind Paul. But Paul's point there was, listen, don't glorify the man. It is not about the man. Because it was God that gave the increase. And see, that's what we all need to understand. You know, victory, God has blessed victory so much. And victory is growing and God is blessing and new opportunities are coming. But never, never make the mistake of thinking it's because of Brother Doug. Or if it's because of Brother Michael or Brother Kelly or Brother Josh or Brother Ken. We all know it's not because of Brother Ken, right? No. You see, this is where Paul puts us in our place. Paul says, look, it's not about your leaders. Because it's God that gives the increase. The move today in churches has been, it's all about that mega church and how to attract people and you know, it's all about the numbers. I want to tell you, it's not about the numbers for me. I love to see the church full. But what I love even more is to see believers growing spiritually. Okay? As a farmer, you can do everything right and still have crop failure. This is a reminder of no matter who we are, my goodness, we can do nothing apart from God because He's the one who gives the increase. Today, I asked you in the beginning, don't apply this to anyone else. Apply it to you. Right? I'm not pointing a finger at anybody. I'm pointing fingers at me. Right? I don't know of anything going on. But when you start looking at yourself, God starts revealing that heart and says, hey, this is there and it should not be. Today, that's the question I ask you. What has God pointed out to you that's there that should not be? Because it has been my experience through years of ministry. What is here, sooner or later, will come out. It will surface. If there is jealousy, if there is envy, if there's division, sooner or later, it will rear its ugly head. So what do? We take care of it here and now. Today, if you're a believer, and you know God has pointed something, you know, things here that should not be, I'm going to ask you to take care of it as we have a verse of invitation. Altar's open. You don't have to tell me. I'll be glad to pray with you if you like. And if you want to share with me, that's fine. But you don't have to tell me. But you do need to take it to God. What's there that should not be? But if you're here today and you've never placed your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior, listen, you need to take care of that. We do not know what's going to happen 30 minutes from now, a year from now, 5 years from now. But one thing I can guarantee you is it's appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment. You're going to stand before God. And if you don't stand before God, covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for your sin, you will not stand before God. You'll hear the words, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Oh, but Lord, you know, I was a good person. But you never gave your life to Jesus. Oh, but Lord, I was a member of the church, but you never gave your life to Jesus. There's one way to heaven. That one way is Jesus Christ. Do you know Him today? This invitation is for you. Heavenly Father, we praise You for Your Word. We thank You for the convicting power of Your Word. And now, Lord, as we come to the invitation, this is Your invitation. You give the increase. And I pray Your will be done. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.